Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural, and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Thanks for coming on tonight. Sean Brown, of course. So I'll introduce him very briefly. Sean and I made contact some years ago, and I enjoyed listening to what he has to say about the SPS, so I thought it would be good to have him along tonight. So I'll introduce our speaker very briefly. Sean Brown worked in television in Britain, New Zealand, and of course Australia. He's been managing director of the Special Broadcasting Service Corporation since 2006. He's going to address the Sydney Institute tonight on the issue of multicultural society, monocultural media, SBS, more special than ever. Sean, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerard. Thank you, everybody, for this opportunity to talk to you. Firstly, let me acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we stand. And let me start by declaring with absolute confidence that the next few months are the most important for SBS, I believe, since its inception in the 1970s. Very shortly, we will begin negotiations with the Australian government about our funding for the next 3 years and beyond. And the outcome of those discussions will determine whether SBS will be able to meet the challenge created by the expanding and changing multicultural shape of Australia, or whether it will be marginalised as a well-intentioned but hopelessly under-resourced experiment. I believe Australia is privileged to have three public broadcasters, SBS, the ABC and NITV. And they complement the output of the commercial and subscription broadcasting sector. Because the presence of national broadcasters such as SBS ensure plurality and diversity in Australia's media landscape. From its early days as an experiment in multilingualism, SBS has had, I believe, a transformative effect on Australian media and the broader community. We have given a face and a voice to multicultural Australia, and in the process have helped to shape it and all of Australian society as a consequence. Prior to SBS, Australians were fed a staple diet of American or British international content and could have been forgiven for thinking that diversity came with a difference of inflection and accent in spoken English. Diversity or foreignness was presented as unpronounceable, unpalatable, or incomprehensible in the Australian media landscape. And some would argue that the broader Australian media has done little to rectify that imbalance. The SBS experience, our endurance as a force in Australian media, has shown that Australia's cultural diversity can be a source of inspiration, discovery, and personal transformation. And it can, and it does, inspire the creation of radio, television, and online content that informs, educates, and entertains all Australians while reflecting the true multicultural heart of this country. There is a very real need for SBS's services not only to continue, but also to grow. We need to harness the potential of new technologies to expand and deepen our range of services. To this end, we recently released a document, SBS's Plans for the Future, outlining our ambitions, and we are currently discussing those plans with various stakeholders. As a protector and custodian of Australia's cultural and creative identity, it is important that we consider the views of our stakeholders and our audiences when we develop our strategic direction in the new media landscape. The idea is to have solid proposals as soon as possible for an expanded range of services on television, radio and online that will chart SBS's course between now and the proposed switch-off of analogue television in 2013. You might ask whether the broader Australian public understands and values the role SBS plays. Well, we've just completed a research project with News Poll on public attitudes towards SBS, and it shows that 92% of people surveyed agree that SBS exists to provide an alternative to the commercial networks in Australia. It's not surprising. But perhaps even more significant is that 87% think it is important that we provide an alternative to the ABC. This is public recognition that SBS is a platform for Australian content that would otherwise not be broadcast, a vehicle for stories that would not be told, a version of Australia that would never be seen. Our viewers believe in this survey that we provide uniqueness, diversity, innovation, quality, and trustworthy news and current affairs. They told us that we are the network that is always trying something new and presenting diverse viewpoints. SBS's contribution to the Australian community is to help foster a shared understanding of where we have come from and a sense of the wonderful possibility of where we can go. We ensure that everyone's story is reflected in our creative and cultural identity, we give a voice to different sectors of the community in our national debates, and we enable different voices and different languages and cultures to be reflected back to all Australians. I know SBS initially brought the world back home and enabled a better understanding of the diversity of origins of Australia's rapidly growing migrant communities. Well, now SBS must meet the communication needs and content demands of a varied audience that includes first, second, and third generation migrants, as well as the broader Australian community, which itself comprises new and rapidly evolving culturally diverse communities and global connections. I'd suggest that in 2008, SBS's contribution is more important than ever as Australian society becomes even more diverse and complex. Prime Minister Kevin Rudd recently remarked that every Australian should have an opportunity to be a full participant in the life of the nation. This is the fundamental premise of any discussion about social inclusion in this country. The Minister for Finance and Deregulation, Lindsay Tanner, also recently spoke at length in the 2008 Redmond Barry Lecture about the challenges faced by Australia's migrant and refugee communities in settling in Australia. Well, it is heartening that even at the highest levels of government, there is recognition of the challenges that many face in participating fully in all that Australian life can offer. We must all recognise that there are barriers to ensuring that all Australians can play a part in the social, cultural, and creative life of this country. An inclusive and cohesive society cannot be left to chance, and we must work to ensure we are meeting the needs of our diverse community. While those needs are increasing through the arrival of and growth in new populations, significant and changing need also remains for Australia's established culturally and linguistically diverse communities. SBS has just completed a comprehensive analysis of data gathered by the Australian Bureau of Statistics through the 2006 census and the General Social Survey. This analysis demonstrates the complexities of multicultural Australia and the equally complex needs of new and existing cultural and language communities. The study shows that engaging with multicultural society in Australia is not simply a case of pigeonholing or making generalisations about different communities and their needs. This ignores the reality that language communities in Australia identify on a variety of levels, including ancestry, faith, culture, and religion. These factors interrelate and make the cultural diversity experience in Australia unique and complex. The study found that household resources and age were just as relevant in defining need as the level of language proficiency in communities. It's fairly self-evident that groups with lower English language proficiency tend to participate less in civic, social or political life, and this was reaffirmed by the ABS data. But these communities also tend to have lower levels of trust in their community and tend to have greater difficulty in accessing services. The groups with the lowest English language proficiency per capita in Australia include Vietnamese, one of the six largest language groups in this country, Dinka, Hmong, and Korean. Other communities have substantial aging populations, among them the two biggest language groups, the Italians and the Greeks, as well as some smaller groups such as Dutch, Lithuanian, Latvian, and Ukrainian-speaking communities. Well, this raises the issue of new needs for established communities, because Australians, aging Australians, revert to their mother tongue in old age and renew their need for in-language support. And this represents a new challenge for SBS. The ABS data also shows that communities with lower household resources have a greater need for government services and more issues in gaining access to those services. These communities are also far less likely to have access to satellite or pay television services in their preferred languages. And the groups with the lowest household resources include indigenous languages, Dinka, Kurdish, Dari, Hmong, Pashto, Assyrian, Amharic, and Arabic. And then there's communities with the highest levels of community dispersal throughout Australia, and included here are indigenous languages and the Torres Strait Creole speakers. They also find it hard to access specialist services and may be isolated from the broader community. They also tend to have far less access to local in-language media, and therefore national in-language services, such as those provided by SBS, increasingly are important to this sector of the population. Of course, it must be recognised that not all cultural communities are disadvantaged. Many are economically empowered, culturally competent, and strong contributors to Australian society. However, in delivering our charter and in recognising our role in ensuring all Australians have an opportunity to participate in civic life in this country, SBS must acknowledge, consider, and lessen where possible the factors that make people vulnerable and underline their ability to access services. Providing for community need has always been a crucial role for SBS, and we must continue to find ways of delivering communication services that are relevant to the needs of Australia's diverse population. Television, radio, increasingly online, are central to delivering those services. On television, our award-winning subtitling unit, our commitment to our World Watch in language news services, complement our commitment to producing locally made programming that reflects Australia's multicultural society. SBS Radio is the most linguistically diverse radio network in the world. It broadcasts in 68 different languages to a potential audience of more than 3 million Australians that speak a language other than English at home. Around a quarter of Australians were born overseas, and more than a quarter of Australians born here were born of parents, one of whom would have been born overseas. More than 200 languages are spoken in Australian community, and that indicates just how vast the need is for in-languages supporting services. But these culturally and linguistically diverse communities in Australia are underserviced and under-targeted by the English language media, who, because of language barriers and cultural differences, cannot effectively engage with these communities. I would also say that broadcasters other than SBS in Australia often make a conscious choice not to engage with these communities. That's where SBS differs across all platforms. As Australia's national in-language broadcaster, SBS Radio enjoys a unique position of trust with all culturally and linguistically diverse communities. It's one of their lifeline brands, a treasured element of their media consumption. SBS Radio is many things to many people: a news source, an information provider, an entertainer, an educator, a cultural resource, and a medium for diverse community views. It helps Australia's many communities participate as fully as possible in society. During community consultations I've been conducting across Australia about our future plans, concerns have been raised about the impact of unmediated access to in-language content from overseas, such as by satellite, direct satellite, or online. And the difficulties that this may pose for certain communities. In Brisbane, one participant told me she was concerned about the local young Muslim community in particular accessing news and views from satellite services. She said it was important that communities were able to engage in local issues that they can identify with rather than solely engaging with news and views from overseas sources. That's the difference with SBS's in-language services. It is responsible, independent, and has editorial integrity. We present all points of view and tread the fine line that often exists in language and cultural communities. SBS's expertise, particularly in radio, is to bring the professional standards of a national public broadcaster to issues relevant to diverse communities. This includes national professional news services and forums and discussions about international and Australian issues. SBS prides itself on inclusiveness and impartiality and unbiased discussions about policy and public issues. In a globalised world, it is more important than ever that Australians are encouraged to engage with and demonstrate tolerance and openness towards different cultures and communities. Because despite multiculturalism being embedded in Australian society, there is more work to be done to create greater cultural awareness, understanding, and inclusiveness. SBS has, for many years, fearlessly championed the evolution of Australian multiculturalism, oftentimes in the face of great criticism. By exploring multiculturalism and challenging cultural stereotypes in content that span ranges of language and origins, SBS promotes understanding and combats intolerance. To test our effectiveness, SBS has just been conducting an audience and industry engagement study looking at two of our most recent Australian television productions, The Circuit, a drama set amongst the circuit courts in Australia's Kimberley region and currently screening on SBS TV, and East West 101, a hard-hitting police drama about a multicultural police squad in Lakemba. The independent research found that the cultural diversity messages of these programs were potent and necessary. Focus groups, which included ethnic and Indigenous Australians as well as independent producers, said SBS was presenting a different and more balanced perspective on Muslim and Indigenous issues that is frankly missing from commercial television. Participants said by credibly portraying their cultures on television screens, this SBS content had the potential to become a force for social change. It could increase awareness, acceptance, and tolerance of cultural diversity. They also spoke of the content starting water cooler conversations about cultural diversity rather than the latest celebrity booted off a reality television show. They called the content brave and said it didn't airbrush any of the social and cultural issues present in Australian society. To continue to be relevant, SBS must be able to reinvent itself and find new ways of delivering its charter, which are both thought-provoking and appealing to audiences. Multicultural society continues to evolve, and many younger, culturally and linguistically diverse Australians do not participate in or are frustrated by long-standing forms of community representation or cultural identity. This is where our Australian content becomes critical in a continued effort to create a culturally cohesive society. I was at a consultation in Parramatta recently, and a Muslim woman talked passionately about the positive impact the SBS comedy Salam Cafe had on her and her community. She told me that for the young people in her community, to see themselves portrayed not as problems in the news, but as lively, witty contributors to a humorous discussion on the Australian experience was simply transforming. Then there's technology. Well, changing technology presents both challenges and opportunities for SBS. But firstly and fundamentally, it is vital that all Australians benefit from the advances in technology. and that there is both ubiquity of access and participation for all Australians, regardless of where they live or what language they speak. SBS is the only broadcaster that can speak to all Australians and help shape or give voice to this perspective in the national conversation. But herein lies the challenge. Consider the equation. Australia has changed, community needs have increased, and technology has created the means by which SBS can continue to deliver to meet those growing and changing needs. The missing part of this equation is the funding required to turn the opportunity presented by new technology into powerful, effective, and essential new services. Digital television and radio will allow us to expand our services, but the technology is not an end in itself. We must have the content to deliver Australian audiences the services they demand and expect. Online services are now the norm, and with improvements to broadband speeds in Australia, audiences will expect to be able to access their favourite content online on demand. Yet SBS has never had 1 cent from the federal budget allocated to online services since the internet was invented. Despite the lack of resources, SBS is making real gains in the type, range and quality of the content that we produce, and our audiences are noticing. Our news poll research found that around a third of our online audience have noticed an improvement in our online services, and more than half of our television audience believe that the quality of SBS television has gotten better in the last 12 months. Our rebranding exercise earlier this year under the banner SBS 6 Billion Stories and Counting has refreshed our television, radio and online presence and given us a contemporary identity to build on over the next few years. I suggest that SBS, on a shoestring, has created some of the most outstanding locally produced content seen on television over recent years, and what's more, we have the critical and audience reaction to back it up. East-West 101, The Circuit, Who Do You Think You Are? And then there's the groundbreaking documentary series about our Indigenous history called First Australians, to screen later this year, which I believe will be one of the most powerful series to have ever been shown on Australian television screens, and I'm proud that SBS was the network to bring that story to life. We have won Logies and Walkleys, countless AFI awards and IFF awards, subtitling awards, prestigious international radio awards, and even 2 Oscars. That's got to be testament to the integrity of our content. On television, SBS is committed to producing a second series of The Circuit, East-West 101, Who Do You Think You Are? And with Screen Australia, we have just announced we will commission another landmark history series, this time on the evolution of multicultural Australia. We expect this series to feature a credible, innovative and intelligent perspective on Australia's recent migrant history, ranging from the White Australia policy to a more recent push to expand economic migration. We want a provocative examination of how Australia's immigration policies have been motivated by shifts in the ideological, social and political climate. SBS has at its heart a commitment to understand and reflect Australia's cultural diversity. The immigration policies of the past, present and future have helped shape that diversity, and I'm really excited about the potential of this new series. All of these programs will be commissioned from the independent production sector in Australia, making the best use of Australia's diverse creative resources. We are a major stimulus to this community, and our engagement research shows just how much the independent production sector now values SBS support for their ideas. One producer said that the freedom and respect that SBS showed to producers means they are willing to try harder to produce great television. Others said we are one of the only networks to value the contribution of the production sector, and that we were the only network willing to back a drama such as The Circuit. Other audience participants in the research recognised that the Australian dramas on SBS were high quality and far better than anything being shown on other Australian networks. One even said how surprised he was to see such high production values from SBS content and posed the question, had we robbed a bank to make it? Well, I sincerely hope that SBS doesn't have to resort to grand theft in order to make great content in the future. But I do have to acknowledge there is a very real disconnect between our ambitions and our bottom line. I believe SBS and the Australian community face the very real risk that our unique content and multicultural perspectives will be lost or marginalised in the new digital environment. We face pressures from all corners on our already stretched financial base. The cost of acquiring and commissioning content are increasing, our audience is demanding a wider range of services are on demand online, and as I discussed earlier, there are new communities with pressing communication needs they are demanding. This challenges our ability to serve them while at the same time preserving and expanding the services for established communities. New digital television, radio, and online services will allow us to better meet growing audience demands. And with a real increase in our base funding, we can deliver this. You know, the government's going to face a tough battle to ensure consumers switch to digital before analog switch off in 2013. Internationally, it is widely recognised that new content is the key driver for digital take-up. Consumers don't just want more of the same. They want a set-top box that will allow them to access new and expanded services from current producers, broadcasters. Well, public broadcasters such as SBS are well-placed, if not well-resourced, to experiment and innovate in that digital space. In the UK, television viewers in the last month have voted Freeview, that's the free-to-air multi-channel platform, as the technology that's had the most impact on their lives. SBS is working with the commercial broadcasters and the ABC to launch a similar platform in Australia. I think we can expect Australian audiences to increasingly realise the importance and potential of an Australian Freeview service with more than 10 channels available free-to-air. But for SBS to have a real presence on this platform and other emerging platforms like digital radio, we must be able to fill a gap in the Australian viewing experience by expanding our range of services and creating new compelling content for viewers and listeners. These new services form the basis of our plans for the future. With increased investment by government, SBS plans to add at least 100 more hours per year of original Australian multicultural programming by 2012. Expand SBS's programming with the best of overseas content across four digital channels by 2013, starting with a fully-fledged second channel, SBS World, next year. Progressively, over the next 6 years, establish 9 new digital radio channels, expanding greatly both the range and depth of multilingual service to more communities. Digital radio allows us to do this without confiscating time from established language groups on our analog service. And also, we will be making all of our content available, streamed or on demand over our online service. The starting point for these ambitions is SBS World. It will complement our main television channel. It will show predominantly subtitled content so that all Australians can access content in other languages. We will dedicate more of the schedule to international content focusing on the Asia-Pacific region in which we live, as well as showing more of the best international films. We will expand our World Watch news service to accommodate new language groups and give more time to existing language groups. Importantly, a well-resourced second channel will allow SBS to introduce English language tuition to support language learning, and for the first time, to show children's programming in languages other than English to support both language communities and language learning. I acknowledge that these are ambitious plans, but I equally feel they are both realistic and necessary. To deliver these new and improved services to the Australian community will take a substantial new investment from the Australian government, somewhere in the order of $70 million a year. That may sound a lot, but when you consider that SBS has had no real increase in funds for many years now, more than most of us SBS can count, and we currently operate on a government appropriation around one-fifth of the ABCs to deliver more complex services on a national scale, we believe our ask is realistic. We already complement our funding with a limited amount of commercial revenue that we are permitted to raise. This is our only means of supplementing our core funding. The revenue we raised through all of our commercial activities in 2006-07 was about $49 million. Important to remember that all of this revenue went directly to make programs. But SBS's commercial revenue pales in comparison to the commercial networks in Australia and even the ABC. In 2006-07, Channels 7, 9 and 10 had combined commercial revenue of nearly $4 billion. And while not permitted to carry advertising in its programming, even the ABC raised $154 million in that year from the sale of goods and services. And that's three times the commercial revenue the SBS commands. I know criticism is sometimes levelled at SBS because of our ability to raise commercial revenue, but this revenue funds local content and better services, and it is essential if we are to deliver the charter. Without it, we simply would not be able to deliver the services we do. But now the time has come, in my view, to address the shortfall in our core funding. So SBS will be working with the government over the coming months to strongly make our case for this investment for the benefit of our audiences and the community more broadly. SBS's contribution to Australia is to help foster a shared understanding of where we have come from, to ensure that everyone's story is reflected in our creative and cultural identity, to give a voice to different sectors of the community in our national debates, and to have different voices and different languages and cultures reflected back to all Australians. SBS is the only media organisation in Australia that can ensure that all Australians can engage with the issues that matter and participate in national public debate, regardless of their cultural provenance or language proficiency. This is a valuable contribution that SBS makes to enhancing social inclusion and improving cultural citizenship in Australia. It is what sets SBS apart from other Australian or international media organisations. SBS is passionate about our civic, cultural and creative contribution to the Australian community, and we hope we'll get the support needed from that community and from the government for our ambition for an even greater presence in the Australian cultural landscape. In 2008, the need for a distinctive and courageous broadcaster like SBS to reflect the reality of modern Australia is more vital than ever. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean Brown. So we come to questions and discussion, and of course we'll finish no later than SBS expenditure. So I just want to ask you a bit about the story that ran on the Canberra Times about 10 days ago, which suggested that the documentary on the Liberal Party would be SBS. I don't understand that. Could you just fill us in what's going on in this great Titan battle of the public broadcasters?
Well, it's not exactly a head-to-head battle, I'm afraid, Gerard. As I said earlier, all of our programmes are commissioned from the independent production sector, which decided that wasn't a very good idea, so, as I understand, they dropped it, unless we're prepared to run it after their series. We're not going to do that. The independent producers have decided that they will find the footage from elsewhere, ABC will forego the important revenue.
The footage of the Liberal Party. Don't send the bill. Okay. So question there, and then we go down there. Yep. Yes,
Neil? Yep. I cherish your organisation. It's good fun as it is, but I just think it's bad for society and encourages the young people heads.
So it's out of keeping with their identity, and I was going to push back and say that we're determined to have more popular programmes. I guess Top Gear isn't exactly the fit.
Commercials on it now. If SBS gets the extra funding it needs from the government, will it start to roll back some of the extra ads?
Yeah. That's on top of the revenue that we currently garner from commercial activity. The licence to raise commercial activity was granted by the Labor government in 1991, And it's true that there have been different ways it's been implemented. It's hard for me to describe the value, the difference that an extra $20 or $30 million has to an organisation like ours. The reason why we are able to do a second series of the circuit, it's really up to the government to say one day, you know, we're either commercial free, hybrid, or fully commercial. There are models around the world that you can look at. And it's straightforward, in my view, that if a government of the day was to write a $100 million check out and say, have that every year, watch them in that way, so it has no value. So what we were faced with really was a declining value proposition versus one that allowed us to lift the revenue. And the thing is, though, that to bear in mind, every dollar, every single dollar...
What is the Australian content
of
SBS? What is the Australian content of SBS? What are you, of programming, of the production?
In sort of ratio or quantum?
Yeah, I mean, the government, what's the government stat?
And that's one of the things we're asking for this time. I'm not sure advertisers would, and I suspect they would challenge our figures. It's a debate that's gone on, I think, for all the time I've been in television. What is the measure of engagement and value that an audience places on it? I've never seen it done on a national scale, so maybe that's an opportunity. We do, in some of our latest research, test sort of overall views towards SBS, and in the case of research we've done recently, what was the value and impact of the two dramas we ran last year, The Circuit and East Wales 101, and it's very gratifying. To be honest, I'd rather, though, have higher audience numbers. And I say that not out of any particular commercial ambition, but rather more out of the desire that such wonderful content, such unique, original, creative content gets to a broader audience. And I'm sure, in my own mind, that the only thing that stands between SBS and bigger audiences is a better understanding of who we are and what we do. And I think too many Australians tend to categorise us as a sort of fringe activity, nice to know, nice to have, don't watch. And we have to change that. Because I don't believe... I quite often get criticised for being ratings-driven. It's such a pejorative term, isn't it? And I always reflect on the thought that authors aren't reader-driven, are they? And if they are, what's wrong with that? You want your best work to be exposed to the biggest number of people. And when you have a charter like SBS with a powerful social mission, you know that the more people are exposed to our content, the more we fulfil our charter.
Malcolm Collis.
Maybe a little context for this, because anyone who works at SBS is constantly aware of the possibility that someone one day will want to merge the two public broadcasters. However irrational that seems to be in terms of the need for greater diversity of editorial voices, there are always those who will argue for it. And indeed, the previous managing director of the ABC, Russell Baldwin, actively lobbied Parliament for that outcome, although I didn't discover it until after he'd stepped out. It seems to me, and to those with SBS, that there can only be one rational basis on which you would want to merge part of the organisation, that's economic benefit. So what we said is, well, look, there's no reason why we can't try and seek out those advantages while maintaining distinctive and diverse voices. And so that's how the initiative began. Right now, it's in its early stages. The areas that are worth looking at, in my view, are transmission and distribution. That's a big area of shared activity. But we've made no secret of the fact, with the government as well, that if there is anything to happen in that space, it'll probably happen over a 10-year period, because there are existing binding contracts that independently bind us.
There's a question there. Yeah.
I'm coming from a particular interest. I'm from the National Music Council. And we have a perception that there's an enormous lost opportunity in music in Australia because migrant communities have brought this great wealth of music that's more or less locked up within them. And we would like to see this brought out as a stimulus, really, to music creation. All these unlike musics rubbing up against each other. And it seems to us that SBS could have a role in this. But my perception is that the radio, for instance, is playing tracks from the old countries, and it's not much interested in local musicians performing this music. And I wonder whether you had an observation about that.
I don't think that is the case so much now. It may have been the case a while ago. I'm certainly aware of the inclusion of contemporary musicians and contemporary music from Australia on our radio services. What I would say, though, is that if we move into digital radio with 9 channels, then the opportunity to do all of these things in a far more substantial scale than a token hour here and there is realised. And the cost of doing that is not great. The cost of building on the base that we currently have and expanding it out into both enhanced language services but also music, English programs, youth programs is great. I mean, 9 channels, we currently run 2, is an enormous opportunity. And I'm interested in the ideas. So one of the great things about SBS is it's an open door in terms of ideas. If we've got the resources, we'll follow through. It isn't always the case, but we're certainly prepared to give things a go.
I'll come and see you.
Right here, the radio's down here.
Hi, Dick.
We have a third one.
Well, a merger of SBS and ABC, in my view.
Not a merger, stick off.
Which way around? The most productive way would be for SBS to take over the ABC, because it must be the case that the most that a big broadcaster taking over a small one will swallow it culturally and efficiency-wise, and there will be very few gains. A leak, slim, mean machine like SBS taking over the bureaucracy of the ABC was bound to extract value and bring more programs to screen.
I wasn't arguing.
Okay, wait. Sort of state-based representation everywhere, which is difficult for them. But certainly, I think one of the reasons why you would always want SBS, apart from the main reason, which is its cultural contribution, is it's wonderful to have an alternative broadcast model to keep pointing to the major broadcaster and say, look, there are ways of doing things that are far more efficient than the ABC is currently doing them.
I wonder, Sean, are you very optimistic about the take-up in Australia of digital radio? Because when Senator Conroy spoke to the Institute a little while ago, he didn't seem overly...
slow process in digital radio. But the difference between SBS and all the other providers is that it's not a case of just nice to have a bit more music and a bit more chat to allow us to provide that service. So our belief is that with a specific, unique service available, that that constituency will take up digital radio to access those services. So I think we could be a powerful impetus.
Which you obviously screen. To what extent are you exporting them, and to what extent does that produce revenue for you, either now or in the future?
Look, it isn't a substantial source of revenue, not unless you happen to stumble across the king hit. And the other thing is that if you pursue international success, it's usually at the price of the specific identity of the domestic product. Home and Away, The Neighbours, they will go well overseas. But if you want to make something that's truly reflective of Australian society and doesn't sort of portray a mythical experience on the beach, then I suspect it isn't going to work particularly well. And having said that, East-West 101 has been picked up by several broadcasters in the Middle East as the first real portrayal of Muslim activity in the West, which is kind of curious. I think Israel bought it as well. We're launching our next drama series, Carla Committee, at the television market in Cannes in next month. So we will pursue that. And one final point, that because we use the independent production sector and we see part of our responsibility under the charter, which says make use of Australia's diverse creative resources, because we follow that path, the producers have a substantial stake in any on-selling of programs. So in a way, we forego an opportunity there in pursuit of our charter.
So there's a question here. I'll take you. Yeah.
I just wondered if you'd say something about the current organisational culture of SBS, because I mean the kind of impression you're giving, understandably, is it's a unified organisation with very clear goals and and wonderful accomplishments. But leaking out in various ways in the media and so on is a rather different picture of what's going on at SBS, where there seems to be quite a lot of anxiety and upset about what's happening within the organisation.
Well, I'm not aware of that in recent times, I have to say. I'm certainly aware that two or three years ago, when we embarked on a change agenda, that there was considerable unease, and that's to be expected in any organisation. A need to understand what it was we were attempting to do. My own sense is that the organisation is very much of one mind. It's not a perfect workplace, of course, but certainly I think there is a unity of purpose. And indeed, last year we adopted a set of purpose and values that embraced the whole organisation, that came out of the organisation. They weren't sort of management mandated. They were ones in which everybody had a chance to contribute. But I think you should also bear in mind that when you have broadcast in 68 different languages, when you have a range of activity across television and radio that actually is about diversity, it is quite difficult to have a unanimity of views. And in some respect, it's the price you pay for being open to every idea that comes in. Unlike other organisations, and you know, like either you've got an umbilical cord to London if you're the ABC, or an umbilical cord to Hollywood if you're 7, 9 and 10, this is a pretty easy business to manage. You make some local programmes, you've got fixed suppliers in these centres. Whereas for SBS, we take programs no one else wants to take, and I don't mean that necessarily because they're rejected, just they're not, that the ideas are too big, too challenging for them. And we source content from around the world that no other broadcaster is looking for. I think when you put all that together, yes, you do have a very highly creative and a group that, you know, doesn't sit and just make one judgment each day. But overall, I've got to say that in the last couple of years, I'm very pleased with the way which the organisation has pulled together.
Sean Brown, many thanks indeed. Over the years, over the decades, the ABC's performed well, and it's good to note that over recent decades since its creation, not so long ago, SBS has been a solid performer as well. I got to know Sean Brown in recent times. I've always been very impressed with his hands-on approach to management, and his obvious enthusiasm for his work with the SBS Corporation. And that was very evident this evening in what was an enthusiastic and conviction-fueled address tonight. So many thanks for that. No doubt we'll see you back at the Institute sometime in the future. But for tonight, congratulations and good luck with your endeavours with your in relation to your negotiations with the government in the forthcoming budget round of discussions. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.